One verse, three realities, the living God revealed in 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16. Introduction, 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16, does something remarkable in a single verse. It does not merely say that God acted. It reveals the one God, through distinguishable realities within his own being. The verse says, "Then the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were exposed by the rebuke of the Lord, from the blast, neshama, of the breath, ruach, of his nostrils." 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16. The wording is compact, but it is not flat. The verse speaks of, the Lord his ruach neshama nostrils, Yahweh is the one God, as the whole acting subject. The possessive his reveals God as the living personal possessor, the divine, I. Ruach identifies God's own spirit. Neshama identifies the preceding breath force. Nostrils function as revelatory designator language for God's living structure. In one verse, Scripture gives one divine action, while revealing real simultaneous distinction within the one God. That is the point. The verse does not divide God into separate persons. It does not reduce God to modes. It does not present him as a flat singularity. It does not turn his nostrils into creaturely anatomy. But it also does not present God as a shapeless, formless fog. Scripture reveals the living God as ordered, personal, spiritual, and concrete. Thesis. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 reveals three simultaneous realities within the one living God. Yahweh is the one God as the whole divine subject. The possessive his identifies God as the personal divine. I. The soul reality Scripture elsewhere names as God's own soul. Ruach identifies God's own spirit. Nostrils function as revelatory designator language for God's living structure, his form. The neshama, the blast or preceding breath force, is not a fourth divine reality. It is the expressed force of the action, showing these realities functioning together in one divine action. The verse does not divide God. It reveals one God, who is personally, spiritually, and structurally full. 1. Yahweh is the one God as the whole acting subject. The verse begins with Yahweh. The foundations of the world are exposed, by the rebuke of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16. The action belongs to him. The rebuke belongs to him. The cosmic shaking is grounded in the one God himself. This keeps the verse firmly monotheistic from the start. There is no second God in the verse, no independent divine agent beside Yahweh, no separate person acting alongside him. The passage begins with the one covenant God of Israel, as the whole acting subject. But the verse does not stop with the subject. It also speaks of his ruach, and his nostrils. That means the one God is not being presented as a flat, undefined singularity. The same verse that insists on one acting God also gives distinguishable realities that belong to him. So the first truth is simple. Yahweh is the one God as the whole divine subject. Everything else in the verse belongs to him. 2. His reveals the living personal divine I. The possessive word his is not a small detail. The verse does not merely speak of ruach. It speaks of his ruach. It does not merely speak of nostrils. It speaks of his nostrils. The possessive of language identifies God as the living personal possessor. God is not an impersonal force. He is not abstract spiritual energy. He is the living him, the personal divine, I, the one to whom these realities belong. This is where the personal center of God becomes visible in the grammar. Yahweh is the whole divine subject, but the possessive his reveals personal ownership identity inward selfhood. The ruach is his. The nostrils are his. The neshama, or preceding breath force, proceeds from what belongs to him. Scripture elsewhere names this personal center through God's own soul language. God speaks of his own soul in passages such as Leviticus chapter 26 verse 11, Leviticus chapter 26 verse 30, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 14, Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 9, and Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 8. These references do not make God a creaturely soul type of the being. They reveal God as the living personal, I, the center of divine thought, will, desire, judgment, and identity. This verse does not begin with an abstract theory. It begins with Scripture's own grammar. His reveals possession. Possession reveals personal subjecthood. Personal subjecthood reveals God as the living divine, I. This is the first simultaneous reality within the one God, God as soul. The living personal center of the one divine being. 3. Ruach identifies God's own spirit. The next reality in the verse is Ruach. English translation can make the phrase sound like one simple breath image. Many translations render the wording as the blast of the breath of his nostrils. That can unintentionally make Neshama and Ruach appear interchangeable. But the Hebrew wording is more precise. Ruach points to spirit, the inward source power belonging to God. Neshama points to blast, breath force, or exhaled force, the preceding expression that comes forth. The verse does not flatten spirit and blast into one vague idea. It distinguishes source and expression. The Ruach belongs to God. It is his Ruach. That means the spirit is not detached from him, not external to him, not another deity beside or inside him. The spirit is God's own inward spirit reality, his own source of life and power. This pattern appears throughout the Old Testament. Scripture speaks of the spirit of God moving over the waters, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The spirit of God giving life, Job chapter 33 verse 4. God sending forth his spirit in creation, Psalm chapter 104 verse 30. God acting by his spirit rather than by human might or power, Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Scripture reveals God's Ruach as belonging to him and acting as the source of divine life, power, and action. So the second simultaneous reality within the one God is clear. God has his own spirit. His Ruach is not the same as the personal, his. And it is not the same as the Neshama that precedes. It is the spirit belonging to God, the inward source power from which divine expression comes forth. 4. God is spirit being, yet he has his own Ruach. Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3 gives an important Old Testament anchor. The Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3. There, Ruach identifies the divine order of being in contrast to creaturely flesh. God is not flesh. God is not material. God is not created. God belongs to the order of spirit. This gives the larger category. God is spirit being, not flesh. But 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 uses Ruach with a more specific emphasis. It does not merely identify God's general type of being. It speaks of his Ruach. The one God who is spirit being has his own Ruach, his inward spirit reality and source power. From that Ruach proceeds the Neshama, the blast or preceding breath force, through the living structure designated as his nostrils. So Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3 and 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 work together, but they do not use Ruach with the exact same emphasis. Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3 gives the being category. God is spirit, not flesh. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 gives the inner distinction. Yahweh, his Ruach, his nostrils, and the Neshama proceeding in divine action. God is spirit being, and within the one God, his Ruach is his own inward spirit reality. 5. Nostrils reveal God's living structure. The third reality appears in the phrase, his nostrils. The verse is not saying God has biological nostrils made of flesh. God is not a creature. He is not formed from dust. He is not an earthly organism. But the language also does not point to nothing. Nostrils imply structure. In creaturely experience, nostrils belong to a living form. They are part of a living structure, through which breath proceeds. Scripture uses that familiar reality as a revelatory designator for a greater divine reality. The language is creature-facing, but the reality designated belongs to God himself. So his nostrils does not mean crude literal anatomy. It also does not mean empty metaphor. It reveals that God is not structureless. The Neshama, the blast or preceding breath force, does not proceed from a shapeless fog. The verse uses nostril language to reveal living structure within the one God. If his nostrils are dismissed as mere metaphor with no real referent, then consistency would require the reader to treat his Ruach and the Neshama the same way. But the verse is not giving empty decoration. It is giving revelatory language. The question is not whether God has creaturely nostrils made of flesh. He does not. The question is what the nostril language reveals. Because God is not a physical creature, this structure is not physical. It is spiritual. Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3 already gives the category. God is not flesh, but spirit. This living spiritual structure is what scripture elsewhere names as the form of Yahweh. Numbers chapter 12 verse 8 speaks of Moses beholding the form or similitude of Yahweh. Exodus chapter 33 verse 23 uses face and back language in the context of God making himself known to Moses. These passages show that the Old Testament has a category for God's personal appearing structure without reducing God to creaturely anatomy. So the third simultaneous reality within the one God is this. God has his own form. His form is not a material body, not a created body, and not a worldly structure. It is God's own living spiritual structure, inseparable from him as the one God who is spirit being. The nostrils are not the form itself in total. They are a revelatory designator. That points to God's living structure. The form is one. The designators are many. Mouth language emphasizes word, speech, and breath. Nostril language emphasizes blast, breath force, and force. Face language emphasizes presence and encounter. Back language emphasizes appearing while preserving divine transcendence. The designators do not exhaust the form. They reveal it in creature-facing language. 6. Neshama shows the three realities in one divine action. The neshama, the blast or preceding breath force, shows the three realities functioning together in one divine action. The verse speaks of the foundations of the world being exposed by Yahweh's rebuke and from the neshama of his ruach through his nostrils. That action brings the whole pattern into view. Yahweh rebukes the one God, the whole divine subject. The possessive his identifies the living personal divine. His ruach identifies God's own spirit, the inward source power. His nostrils designate living structure. Neshama, the blast or preceding breath force, goes forth in judgment. This is one divine action, not several gods acting together. The neshama is not another being. The ruach is not another deity. The nostrils are not biological anatomy. But the distinctions are real because the verse itself speaks in distinguishable terms. The verse reveals God as one living subject, with real simultaneous realities belonging to him. 7. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 confirms the same pattern through mouth language. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 gives the creation side parallel. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6. Here scripture speaks of the word of Yahweh, the breath of his mouth. The designator changes from nostrils to mouth, but the pattern remains. The mouth is not a biological mouth. But it is also not meaningless metaphor. Mouth language, like nostril language, points to living structure. Word and breath proceed through the structure scripture designates as God's mouth. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 is important because it shows that this language is not limited to judgment. It appears in creation as well. The same God who exposes the foundations of the world by the neshama of his ruach through his nostrils also makes the heavens by his word and by the breath of his mouth. The mouth and nostrils are different creature-facing designators, but they point to the same greater reality, God's own living spiritual form. The action differs. The designator shifts. The one God remains the subject. 8. Psalm chapter 18 and Job 4 confirm the judgment pattern. Psalm chapter 18 verse 15 parallels 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16. It speaks of the foundations of the world being exposed at Yahweh's rebuke and at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Job chapter 4 verse 9 also connects divine breath, blast, and nostril language in judgment. These passages show that 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 is not an isolated expression. Scripture repeatedly uses this kind of language when describing divine power proceeding in judgment. Again, the point is not creaturely anatomy. The point is revelation. God's neshama belongs to him. God's ruach belongs to him. God's nostrils belong to him. God remains the one acting subject. Scripture does not merely say, God did it. It reveals God's action through possessive, structured, living language. 9. One verse reveals three simultaneous realities. The force of 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 is that one verse reveals three simultaneous realities within the one God. First, the possessive his reveals God as the living personal divine, I, the sole reality scripture elsewhere names through God's own soul language. Second, ruach reveals God's own spirit, the inward source power belonging to him. Third, nostrils reveal God's living structure, his form, through creature-facing designator language. The neshama, the blast or preceding breath force, is not a fourth divine reality. It is the expressed force of the action. It shows Yahweh, his ruach, and his nostrils functioning together in one divine act. These realities are simultaneous. They are not. Stage trolls. God temporarily assumes separate persons' parts added together to make God poetic decorations with no real referent. They are real distinguishable realities within the one living God. This is why biblical monotheism cannot be reduced to a flat singularity. The Bible reveals one God, but not a structureless God. It reveals Yahweh as the living God who is personal, spiritual, and formed in his own divine way. Aspectival monotheism affirms this scriptural pattern. It does not create the distinctions. It receives and preserves what the text reveals. One God who is soul, has his own spirit, and has his own form. Conclusion. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 reveals more than divine power. It reveals the ordered fullness of the one living God. In one verse, scripture speaks of Yahweh his ruach the neshama, the blast or preceding breath force his nostrils. Yahweh remains the one God as the whole acting subject. The possessive his reveals God as the personal divine, I. Ruach reveals God's own spirit. Nostrils reveal God's living structure, his form. Neshama shows these realities functioning together in one divine action. This is not division modalism, crude literalism, empty metaphor. It is concrete Old Testament revelation. The one God is not a shapeless fog. He is the living spirit being who is soul, has his own spirit, and has his own form. The value of 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 16 is that it reveals the ordered working of God in one place. These distinctions are not gathered from scattered passages and stitched together after the fact. In one sentence, scripture speaks of Yahweh, his ruach, his nostrils, and the neshama. Proceeding in divine action. The realities are simultaneous, not modal. They are distinguishable, not separate. They belong to the one God, not to multiple persons within God. In one verse, scripture gives one divine action and reveals three simultaneous realities within the one God. Igor Pagoda, Christ Rooted, Divine Identity Theology, DIT.